For the past 20 years, one tool has been fundamental to business, yet has evolved the least: email. While we have smartphones, AI, and increasingly advanced computers, it feels like email is exactly where it was 20 years ago. But that might be changing. Notion has just taken a huge step with Notion Mail, and I think this is the evolution we've been waiting for. I wanted to learn the why behind it, so I talked to the team behind Notion Mail and even one of Notion's founders to learn how it works and the philosophy behind it. Surprisingly, this goes very deep, so here's what they had to say. If you aren't familiar with Notion, it's a suite of customizable productivity tools, but at its core, it's building blocks but for software, hence their logo. Everything in Notion, be it text, headers, code, or tables, is considered blocks which can be dragged, nested, stacked, reordered, or transformed. Not just vertically, but horizontally, from CRM software to to-do lists to databases to writing flowcharts to wikis. The inspiration for this is Legos.
And so the idea we had back then was, if you were to decompose the software down to the building blocks, we don't think that there's that many building blocks. Maybe there's 25 building blocks that make up most of the work software that we use. And the original idea was to essentially give these building blocks to our customers and let them build software. And the idea was, wouldn't it be great if we could democratize software making, where people get these building blocks and they can put it together to create software that they like?
This is Akshay Kothari, the COO and co-founder of Notion. Notion is like a box of Legos, the same pieces, but you can build what you want, like a plane or a spaceship. In the case of Notion, a tool to create tools. But this idea of Lego software is not just about customization, but something even more profound. The idea draws from the work of Douglas Engelbart, the founding father of computers, who invented the computer mouse itself. In his 1962 paper, he details a fascinating perspective on software. What Engelbart is saying here is quite contrary to the world of computing, that there shouldn't be a difference between builders and users. That users should be able to build and design software systems and use design tools by themselves, for themselves. There are, of course, the explicit computer processes which we use and which our philosophy requires the augmented man to be able to design and build for himself. I've heard that this one paper from Douglas Engelbart about augmenting human intellect shaped the fabric of Notion. Could you talk about this paper and how it guided you?
Yeah, Douglas Engelbart is one of our heroes, and this paper that he wrote around augmenting human intellect is quite foundational for what we work on. In fact, if you come to the Notion San Francisco office, you'll see a portrait that you'll notice as soon as you get into the office. I think the core premise that I think we resonate with a lot is, I think Douglas talked about augmenting human intelligence. He wasn't suggesting we sort of like replace it or automate it. He's really thinking about how a man's ability or woman's ability can be really augmented by what machines can have to offer.
Akshay and his co-founder saw the potential for what software could be, but early on, they had a huge problem. The average person just didn't care.
Before you pivoted into becoming a broader productivity tool, you guys had trouble getting people to care. Can you talk about this experience?
Well, going back to, you know, the original idea of sort of democratizing software and giving people the building blocks, you know, we essentially built this dream platform where you can build whatever software you wanted, and basically nobody showed up. And I think it was actually kind of hard the first few years, where we thought we had built an amazing platform, but we learned the hard way that people don't really wake up to build software unless you're a programmer. You know, it's definitely also different in the world of AI where people can do this. But back then, I think people just didn't care as much.
Notion's founders were passionate about this tool, but they couldn't get people to buy into their vision. It didn't quite have product market fit. Then they had an idea.
And so we had to pivot a little bit, and we pivoted to using our own building blocks and building templates. So like a simple to-do list or a simple knowledge hub for a company or a task management, you know, So we used our own building blocks to create some of these templates, and these templates really changed the trajectory of Notion, where we're not advertising the ability for you to build software. We said, hey, you're looking for a modern editor, you're looking for a modern way of managing projects inside your company, you should give Notion a try.
The breakthrough moment was not the value itself, but the way customers received and interacted with it. Could you talk about sugar-coated broccoli?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that Ivan mentioned in a recent interview, which is basically like people don't like, eating their vegetables, especially green vegetables, and sometimes you have to sugarcoat it, and sometimes you have to almost think of it as like, what is it that people are willing to lean in, willing to eat, and like maybe after the sugar coating goes away, you're eating this broccoli, and maybe that's something you will tolerate, right? And so it's a good metaphor to think about. Just, I think you sometimes you have to meet people where they are, meet people where the needs are, as opposed to having a dream platform in your head that you think is extraordinary, but doesn't actually solve what people's needs are today.
Sugar-coated broccoli is the idea of attracting customers with something sweet, but the real vision and value is hidden beneath. A productivity tool hiding what is essentially a programming language tool to build your own tools.
You've entered spaces that are already dominated by big tech offerings that most people grew up with. How do you convince users to switch from something that's so deeply ingrained?
I think there's generally quite a bit of activation energy to move off of your tools. And one of the things that we have done, invested in very heavily, is to really attract the next generation. I think it's kind of like, when I think about it myself, when I was in college 20 years ago, I was introduced to Google Docs and I became a Google Suite user since then and sort of never looked back. I think people in colleges and schools today are really looking up to Notion as the tool that they do their work on. And our hope is that when they come to work and when they start companies, I think they will choose to pick Notion over other tools to run the company.
Going back to the original idea of Notion, I think this is just like Lego sets. You buy a box, be it a Lego Star Wars or Lego City, which looks a very specific way. But the best part is the freedom to build whatever you want forever with those same pieces. I think this is exactly what Notion did. They hid their unlimited potential inside something easy to understand and use, productivity software and a strong document tool, sugar-coated broccoli. But Notion wasn't out of the woods just yet. The vision was there, but building it out was another story. Creating such a dynamic, novel platform is difficult, especially when the technology doesn't necessarily exist just yet. This means you have to make some bets, but naturally, sometimes they don't pan out. In the early 2010s, Notion was built using Google Web Components, but this brought with it a lot of problems.
You guys found out the hard way that building using Google Web Components wasn't the way to go, right? How did that go, and how did you think about pivoting and relaunching Notion without Google?
Well, we use probably Google technology a lot, but you're right in that our tech stack was incorrect the first couple times we built Notion, and we had to rebuild it many times over. In fact, I was an investor, early investor in the company, and the company ran out of money before even launching the product. And at least in my mind, I had sort of written off this investment, thinking that, it was worth a try. Sadly, it didn't work out.
Notion was back to stage one. Even though they figured out their philosophy, this was a huge setback. Long term, it was the right move, but there was a question on the founders' minds. How are we going to survive this setback?
And Ivan, I think I remember, he took a loan from his mom, and Ivan and Simon moved to Japan to rebuild it. It was essentially the last hurrah. It was essentially trying to see, like, okay, let's give it one last shot to see if this actually works. And so it's funny how these things work. I mean, just another wrong turn, I would not be here talking to you, or Notion wouldn't be, wouldn't exist in the world. But thankfully, I think we took all our learnings and rebuilt it in a way that meets people where they were in terms of addressing their problems, but also was built on a much more stable infrastructure in the early days.
Notion luckily weathered the storm and was working towards a long-term vision. And soon, after a lot of work, that vision finally came to life. With all these hard lessons learned, in August of 2016, Notion was relaunched on Product Hunt, and this time, they immediately started gaining momentum. Within a year, Notion hit 1 million users. But there was something interesting going on. 80% of these users were outside the US, and all of them came from word of mouth. People at major companies began to tinker with Notion, DoorDash, Nike, McKinsey, and even Adobe's chief product officer. And these weren't even custom enterprise solutions either. It was just Notion.
Can you talk about your first big success with Product Hunt?
Yeah, Product Hunt has been, it's been critical for all of our launches. I mean, it's really what put us on the map initially. So Notion 1.0 was released sometime late 2016. We didn't actually know what to expect from it, but that was sort of like the way people were launching. And one of the most interesting things about Product Hunt is that right from day one, it gave us a global audience. So I think a lot of people know this now, where 80% of our usage is outside the US and something like 70% of our business is outside the US. And I would say a lot of it is because from day one, Product Hunt gave us like an international sort of global audience, and the global audience really resonated with it.
Then it happened.
So Notion is really best reserved for situations.
What better time to start learning Notion?
To help you get started in Notion,
the software Notion.
Tutorials on how to use Notion began to blow up. Notion was flooded with users, millions of them and fast, quickly climbing to 20 million users.
I think in those early days, it was really special. You know, you had all these folks who were so close to the product, so leaned in. I spent my first many months at the company just on the support line answering questions. And, you know, one of the things that surprised me then and still surprises me now is the way people use Notion. I think it's actually kind of like, it's still, even though I've been doing it for years now, I still am fascinated by what people build with Notion. And to be able to see that on a global context, specifically like, you know, countries like Japan, Korea, Germany, France, I mean, just like what the things that they're building has been so fun to watch.
Yet, ironically, this brought about another huge challenge, which was actually keeping up with the demand.
At one point, Notion was growing so fast that y'all nearly died from too much traffic, right? How did that go?
The challenge it gave us was essentially the number of new workspaces and the number of content being created was far higher than we had ever expected. And so back then, Notion was operating off of a single database. We hadn't sharded the databases so that we could be like scalable. And we were literally days. I think we had an internal sort of countdown. We were like maybe less than 30 days away from being completely overloaded to a point where Notion would have to be down for days. And so essentially, we dropped everything we were doing. The entire product engineering team was just focused on getting us to a future where we could scale.
With little time remaining, they managed to get things under control. But there's still one looming question. Why did tutorials for Notion blow up of all things? It sounds strange since these are tutorials, but it comes back to Notion's philosophy of Lego blocks. People were discovering how powerful and customizable Notion was firsthand. With its building blocks, you could tailor it to your workflow down to the finest detail. And now with modern-day Notion, this is even more the case. They've integrated Notion Calendar and soon, Notion AI.
Speaking of new features, a lot of startups nowadays slap together ChatGPT APIs and call it AI. How would you say Notion's approach to AI is different?
The thing that we were surprised by was that people really appreciated using it because it was integrated into their workflow. Like you can actually kind of do this in ChatGPT, but then you have to sort of copy paste all the time. And so I think AI is not like a feature. It's like this new technology that can power literally everything we're doing, right? And so we've gone internally as a company from being like an AI feature to essentially being like an AI stack that is leveraged for everything we built. Like one of the things we built recently was that you can set up a database just by speaking English or any other language. And it's remarkable. I mean, even for me, who's in, you know, like I feel like I know Notion quite well. It would take me 3 to 5 minutes to set up a database with all the properties and everything filled out properly. And AI can do this in less than half a minute. So it's literally 10 times faster.
It's not just any regular AI add-on like so many other products. Since Notion is built in blocks, you can ask it to set up a workspace, database, sprint, or anything you can describe. Notion is extremely powerful because it's essentially tied to your own imagination, like Lego. And that brings us to their latest endeavor, Notion Mail. It feels like so much of tech has advanced, but email has stayed where it is. It's used by billions of people, and this has caused a few consequences. For one, email feels as universal and broad as it possibly can. This might sound like a selling point, but when something is just standard for the masses, it's hard to make it your own. Not only that, in our amazing modern world with AI, organizing your inbox is still somehow very time intensive.
So here's the problem. The problem is that when you try to organize your inbox, you try to make labels or make folders, you're actually adding way more work for yourself. So the more you try and organize, the more pain you have for every email that comes in. You have to remember, I have these labels. You have to hit L, or you have to like click through your label, you know, list. That's really frustrating.
It often feels like literally labeling physical letters and chucking them into different piles. I mean, it's why my email is a much bigger mess than it should be, but many people can't afford that. Email is where almost all their business takes place, yet it seems medieval. Notion Mail brings a big solution to this, auto-label. This feature is unbelievable. If you click the auto-label button, then describe a type of email, say restaurant reservations, Notion AI will review your inbox, find the emails that fit your prompt, then auto-label them. That's it. No need to create a custom label and go through your emails to label them manually.
We will recommend labels for you, or you can name them and create them yourselves, but then AI will go through the pain of applying them. So every time an email comes in, it could apply, you know, meetings, it could apply emails about YouTube videos, emails about, you know, startup recruiting, emails from investors. And it just basically takes that pain away, where you can create a label and create a system to organize, but then not have to suffer through all the kind of manual tasks of applying those labels every time an email comes in.
For obvious reasons, this is amazing. This is what I imagined an AI assistant actually doing, but we're just getting started. When you open Notion Mail, you might just see your standard Gmail inbox with things of all kinds of priority lumped together. But with categories, you can organize them based on your workflow, not just based on when they came into your inbox.
I think this is awesome because I think chronological email is a lot of the reason why email feels overwhelming. It's like as you get later in the day, you know, the important emails get buried more and more in your inbox. So I use a priority-based inbox where I have, you know, critical or high priority at the top, and then I drag and drop into that section and then, you know, can move emails out of it. And with AI, you can also have AI assign properties. So like I can have an AI rule that's like label all emails from Hari with urgent, or label all emails from Ivan at Notion discussing the Notion Mail launch with, you know, to do, or something like that. So we've tried to make the process of like labeling and triaging a lot less kind of manual labor intensive. And I think hopefully move you more away from like chronological email, which feels overwhelming, to something that, you know, you have a system and then AI helps you organize.
Notion Mail is just like the rest of Notion, Legos. You decide what your inbox is like, not the other way around. And it's taken even further with properties. If we click settings in the top right and properties, we can overhaul our inbox, and quickly. I can hide the category, body, and if I want, everything except the subject to make it as concise or as detailed as necessary. This comes into play with views, which are your custom workspaces with these labels. I might need the subject, body, and more for important emails, but maybe only the subject for promotions.
You can actually build custom views in Notion Mail that feel a lot like building databases or apps inside Notion. So custom properties and custom statuses and even groups.
This sounds like some fun customization, but it's seriously powerful.
And what that means is you kind of can take an inbox, which is today this one size fits all, you know, date ordered list, sidebar, reading pane, and we've turned it into a custom set of properties, a custom set of groups, and really visualizing your email as a database. So you can add custom properties from like a notes property to your email if you want to add notes to email threads, or custom statuses, you know, like the steps in your recruiting process, like interview one, on-site, offer, et cetera. And you can actually drag and drop emails into those different sections and have fully different kind of apps in your inbox, in your sidebar. So we've really tried to take that, you know, building blocks, Lego-style philosophy to building custom apps in your inbox.
Notion already has a large collection of view templates to quickly set up your inbox, like news, social media, or bookings. You can build a Notion Mail to center around your workflow instead of changing your workflow to fit with a standardized system someone else made for you and a billion other people. Notion Mail is built for this, not just being an email, but being a productivity tool.
And when we see email clients today, they are trying to be built around one purpose. Like, we're an email recruiting tool, or we're a newsletter reading tool, or we're a CRM in your inbox. And I think with Notion Mail, the whole philosophy of like building blocks and properties is that you can build custom apps out of that. And so with properties, groups, snippets, and AI, you can really do that inside Notion Mail.
There's also a ton of quality of life improvements that just make the user experience all that much easier. For one, hovering over emails gives you a small preview, or you can adjust the email pop-out to be on the right, over top, or the whole page. The core of Mail, like the rest of Notion, is a tool to help you build a tool. But before we get to more of that, what about the actual emailing, the sending, writing, and replying? Your email view will look very familiar and has the standard functions you'd expect, as well as the improve writing function. But there's also something I'm really excited about. If you use Notion, you know the writing system is amazing. Part of that comes from the slash command, which brings you a long, long list of functions instantly. This is huge.
I love the slash command. I think it's kind of frustrating to switch to your email editor and feel like you're in like a 1990s experience where like all you have is HTML bold, italics, underline, and maybe some basic text styling like color or heading. You know, writing an email in Notion Mail feels modern. It feels like writing a document in Notion. You can use slash callout. You can put code blocks in. You can put scheduling links in. You can do a lot in that actual email editor. And because email is HTML and HTML is like the language of building apps, we can actually make things look pretty good too. So if you send a call out, you know, the recipient will receive a call out block in their email that looks really good.
It feels like we're finally in the 21st century, yet this goes even further than just presentation. For example, type slash and scroll to schedule. You can schedule a meeting inside your Notion calendar, then send the proposed meeting, and the recipient can confirm. Normally, I'd have to grab a link from an external tool or send a separate invitation, but here, it's built into my email client directly. This shows us what Notion is really trying to do.
So Notion Mail connects to Notion Calendar with the scheduling integration. It connects to Notion where you can at-mention documents or write with AI and mention your documents there too. And then we also have a lot more coming, you know, deeper tasking and CRM and a lot more in that space. Notion is all about building software for your life and for your work, you know, breaking software down into its building blocks to let you kind of customize it and adapt it to your use case. I think Notion Mail was built with exactly that vision. You know, that's exactly how we thought about it. How do we make, you know, Notion Mail customizable, adapt to your inbox, you know, and then be a little more like in these other use cases for your life or your work that, you know, email really focuses on. And I think like email needs no introduction with billions of people using it, that it should just add a lot of value to literally everyone using Notion.
Having a new Lego set is fun, but when you get to add that new Lego set to a big pile of Legos you already have is when you get magic. And that magic is what Notion is trying to create. Integrating email, where so much of our work and even life happens, into Notion has incredible potential, especially given that you can use your existing email with Notion. What Notion Mail is really doing is breaking down software to the core building blocks and allowing you to put them together however you want. All of this weirdly makes email fun. Even as someone in business, emailing is the least favorite part of my workflow. I generally stick to Discord, Slack, or iMessage whenever I can. But with Notion Mail, the entire concept of email is a lot more appealing. It feels like that magical step of going from old Word docs to Notion all over again.
Where do you see Notion Mail in 10 years?
Email's gonna stick around. I don't see it going anywhere. I think it's the only thing that's like our public identity on the web. It lives with us our whole life. You know, many people before they're even born have an email address. And so I really see email continuing to be that. I see the AI assistant piece getting better and better. So like we're reading things that matter to us. And it's not just labeling. It's like, are these emails valuable to us? Are we responding to them? Are we spending time on them? You know, or are they noise? And I think we at Notion are really aligned with our users. We don't want them to see kind of marketing or useless communications. You know, we're really on the side of like the email consumer, not like the email marketer. So I think we'll build up a lot more around that, the AI organization, AI writing, and then combining it with your knowledge in Notion. I also hope we can, you know, go and be an email product for all email clients, maybe even our own email provider, you know, and just be kind of touching that massive number of people that use email. So hopefully billions of people.
And one of the things we want to do is we want to build you a deeply connected experience so that everything from the work you do on Notion to the communication you have with internal and external stakeholders to the time you spend in meetings is deeply integrated. So I can tell you a lot about like how we're thinking about Notion Mail, but the thing that gets me the most excited is the fact that your communication is going to be deeply connected to the work you do, is going to be deeply connected to the meetings you have. And the fact that you can go from inside email to scheduling a meeting that shows up in your calendar to being able to take notes for your meeting, to be able to like send summary out, like all of that simple work that you do can be deeply integrated and automated in a way that makes you more time.
Personally, I can't wait to see how Notion Mail and Notion as a whole evolves. I wish the best of luck to Andrew, Akshay, and the entire team at Notion. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.